Praise God. Well, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through to 14. I'll only be speaking this morning in this service, and Brother Joshua Drew will be ministering in the next service. And I'm kind of glad about that because my voice is I'm starting to lose my voice a little bit this morning from singing too loud, probably. Maybe cheering a little bit too loud at my children's soccer yesterday as well. Could be that, more likely. Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read from verses 1 through to 14. If you could turn there in your Bibles, and if I could have those slides on the fallback screen as well. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience, the race that is set before us. And so in those days, they would take off any weighty clothing so they could run faster. They would lay aside the weights so they could run. And then it talks here about the great cloud of witnesses. And I believe, and I know the scriptures would confirm this, that that great cloud of witnesses are the people that have gone before us. Everyone say, gone before. Those people who have stood firm in their faith, regardless of the adverse circumstances that have happened in their life, they have gone before us. They have stood fast in the faith. And it's like a stadium. They're cheering us on, saying, you can make it. They've gone before us, and they're the great cloud of witnesses. Now, we know that when you run a race, you keep your eyes on the finish line. And the writer of Hebrews said this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. In other words, the writer is saying, you haven't yet given your life. Even though you're struggling against sin and against sinners, you haven't given your life like Jesus gave his life. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise thou not thou the chastening or the discipline of the Lord. Don't despise the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked, that is punished of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, or everybody say children. If God disciplines you, then you're a child. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence when they corrected us. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. It's talking about our parents. But God chastens us for our profit. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward. Everyone say afterward. We don't like that word afterward, but afterward. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. No chastening for the present seemeth joyous, but is grievous. But after it, our life will begin to produce fruit. Everybody say fruit. I want to minister today on this thought, the tough love of God. The tough love of God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you love us. You love us too much to leave us the way we are, Lord. You love us too much to leave us, Lord God, Lord, pursuing wrong things, Lord God. You love us too much, Lord God, to not guide and correct our path. And so, Lord Jesus, as we go to your word today, Lord, let it come alive to us and speak to us. Let faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And all the church says amen. You may be seated. The tough love of God. Now, I know that's not exactly a very appealing title for anybody, even a Christian. The tough love of God. The best way to describe God's love is His love is agape love, a divine love. Agape love is more than just the love between friends or the love between a husband and a wife. Agape love is unconditional love. Agape loves when somebody becomes unlovable. It's unconditional. Agape love is sacrificial love. And that's why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That word love in John 3:16 is that Greek word agape. For God so agape the world. I'm talking about a sacrificial and unconditional love. Now, when it comes to love these days, many people don't have a proper understanding of love. I mean, we use the word love so broadly. Some of you may walk out, and maybe not today, but some of you may walk outside and say, "We love this weather." Or maybe you'll say, "I love ice cream." Or, "I love the Camberaders." Or, "I love my friends," or "I love my dog," or all of those things. And we use this word so broadly. And what can happen is that love can mean so many different things in the way that we use it. And for many, love, the real meaning of love, has lost its depth. But God loves us. The Bible talks about God's love. In Psalm 63, I've got a number of references up there. I'm sorry for the coloring. You might not be able to read them. But it says God's love is better than life. It says that His love is precious and His love is a strong refuge. The Bible talks about God's love being enduring, unfailing, everlasting, that God's love is undeserved and that God's love is unmerited. It talks about God's love being generous and gracious, and how many people can say amen to that? That God's love, yes, agape love, God's love is sacrificial and God's love is selfless. God's love is compassionate and caring and patient. God's love is forgiving. There's something about God's love. We are thankful for God's love. And as Christians, we love that God loves us so much. We love the fact that God is merciful. We love the fact that God is gracious. We love that God restores and He forgives. Somebody say amen. We love that God gives us hope and He's a God of second chances, and somebody say amen. And when I preach these things about God, we love to hear it. It brings us to our knees and we thank God, "Thank you for loving me even though I was unlovable." It can bring us to church and we raise our hands and say, "God, I'm just thankful that you love me. I may have slipped this week, God, but you love me. I thank you for your love." And we come to church because we love to hear about a God who is for us. And I want to tell you today that God is for you, that God loves you, that God loves you. And we love to hear lots of things that God is nice. And yes, He is all of those things. But if we're not careful, Christianity can become about what God can do for us. In fact, many preachers, you see them on TV sometimes, they will preach that message about what God can do for you, almost merchandising the gospel. And I know that, yes, He can save us, He can heal us, and many of the names of God are exactly that. Jehovah Jireh, He's our provider. Jehovah Shalom, He is our peace. He's our healer. He's all of those things. But if we're not careful, we can turn God into some cosmic Coke machine where we put in some coins, and God just gives us blessings. And so for some, getting saved has become nothing more than something that just unlocks the treasures of God. And some of us can say, yes, but that's true, Pastor. Now I'm saved. I'm blessed. God provides. I have hope. And I thank God for that. And that is true. But God's love is more than just what He can give us in this life. Because more than anything, He loves us and He wants to see us saved. He wants to see us. You see, many people make the mistake of painting a caricature of God. I don't know if you've ever been brave enough to get a caricature drawn of you. It's like those cartoon pictures. And so the person that draws the caricature, Brother Snyder, he will look at you and he will look at your features and he will emphasize some features and he will minimize other features. Now, if your nose is just slightly bigger than average, like me, not just slightly, mine's pretty huge, but a person who draws a caricature will emphasize it and make it even bigger and then make other parts of your face very small. And that's where a caricature comes from. And if we're not careful, what we can do is we can begin to have a caricature of God in our mind where we emphasize the things we like about God and we minimize the things we don't like. And I want to tell you, that is not a portrait of God. That is a caricature of God. It's not a true resemblance of the God, you see, the God that we serve. You see, we can't just emphasize some things about God's character and minimize other things. And yes, He is our provider. He supplies all of our needs. He is Jehovah, but He's also Jehovah Adonai, and He is also Lord. Everybody say Lord. And so, yes, he is your provider, but He is also your owner. He is also your master. He is also your controller. And if you want to receive the blessings of God, you've got to make Him Lord. Clap your hands to the Lord today. I think that's a good point. Now, the book of Hebrews is a word of exhortation, and it's encouragement. The writer of Hebrews, and most would believe it's Paul, but we can't be fully certain. But the writer of Hebrews is encouraging the readers to hold fast, stand strong, continue living for Jesus, continue walking and continue living and unto perfection. And so obviously the original readers needed encouragement. And so we can get some clues about what was happening to the church that this book is written to. It seems, first of all, that they have been Christians for some time because the writer says, go on toward perfection. In other words, they're already living for Jesus. They're already Christians, but they have to keep going on. But it also seems, if you read the scriptures, that their life hasn't been very easy at all. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 to 34 says this. The writer says, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated or after you received the revelation, you endured a great fight of afflictions. So they had a hard time. Partly, the writer says, whilst you were made a gazing stock by both reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them which were so used. For you had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Even their things and their possessions were spoiled and stolen, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. He's saying, you went through some terrible times. People mocked you, blasphemed you. They spoiled your goods. They stole your stuff. You were a gazing stock. You were afflicted and all of those things. But the writer says, you took them joyfully because you knew that you have a reward in heaven. You knew that life is not just about what happens here in this world, the nasty now and now, but you have your eyes on the sweet by and by. And you're able to endure all of those things because you've got your eyes set on eternity. And so the book was written to Christians like us. They were being culturally attacked, and the same is with us. The culture was antagonistic towards them. The culture was violent towards Christians and the preaching of the gospel. They were put in prison. They were having their stuff stolen. Even the right to buy and sell was taken from them. And so we've gone 11 chapters. Everyone say 11 chapters. And the writer of Hebrews, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit, has not yet addressed the suffering that they're experiencing. Then we get to Hebrews 12 and he's going to start talking about their suffering. He starts by saying this, now consider him, that is Jesus, consider Jesus. He endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Think about Jesus, otherwise you're going to become wearied and think that it only happens to you, but it happened to Jesus. You see, the same hostility that you're experiencing now, Jesus himself experienced that and even worse. Yes, he says you've had a hard time and things are difficult. Yes, sinful men are harming you, but you haven't given up your life yet. I know it's difficult, but Jesus gave up his life and died on the cross. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 12 says, you're not even like the people in Hebrews 11, the Christians there, which are spoken of, where they were torn in two. They were tortured and stoned. You can read about that in verse 4. So the writer says, have you forgotten the exhortation? Have you forgotten the encouraging word? Because I'm speaking to you as children. My son, don't make light of the chastening or the discipline or the training of the Lord. Don't faint when God rebukes you and when you are corrected and when you are punished. For whom the Lord loveth, he disciplines. God is a loving God, and he loves us, and he's going to discipline us and chasten us. Why? Not because he doesn't love us, but because he does love us. It's the tough love of God. And so, this can be a struggle to swallow today, especially when we have a God in our mind where it's all about us. Pastor, you told me we're going to talk about the love of God. Yes, we can't talk about the love of God without talking about the tough love of God. Why is God like this? Why does God have to be like this, you may say? Why does this have to happen? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the Bible answers the question. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and punishes every son whom he receives. And if you endure the chastening, if you allow God to correct you, if you allow God to rebuke you and punish you and discipline you, then you are a child of God. Then you are a son. Okay? And what sort of child is there that is loved whose father and mother don't chasten them? But if you be without chastisement, then you are bastards. That word means we don't even know who your parents are. And so if he didn't discipline us, then we would be illegitimate children. I'm talking today about something you might not hear preached over many pulpits, but I want to tell you about the tough love of God. Then the writer says, well, in verse 9, your fathers in the flesh, they corrected you. And we gave them reverence. And so when our earthly parents corrected us, we respected them more. And let me tell you, young people, if your parents correct you, it's because they love you. And one day you're going to respect them when you realize why they did it, because they loved you. They corrected you, even though you didn't like it. And the writer says they corrected you and you respected them. So why can't you receive it from God? Why is it that you throw a tantrum every time God corrects you? And so if earthly parents are like that, then why wouldn't a loving God do the same? Why would we resist the correction of a loving God? Why would that be so strange for us? And then verse 10 goes to say, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. Now, different versions, I read this because it was very interesting. Our parents chastened us for those few days while we were living with them as children. They chastened us and disciplined us. And some versions say the best they knew how, and some versions says for their own pleasure or to make their life easier. Now, as parents, we know that we have to discipline our kids to make our life easier. You don't discipline your kids, you're creating a rod for your back. And so I'm sorry to say, kids, sometimes your parents discipline you to make their life easier. It's going to make your life easier as well. For verily, for a few days, your parents chastened you after their own flesh, but he, for our profit. So while your parents may chasten you to make their life easier, God only chastens you to make your life better. He chastens you because he loves you. It's not nice. It's tough, I know, but it is still love. Even if it's tough love, it's still love. So, Pastor, why did you have to talk about such a topic at church? I came to church to be excited and motivated and all these things. I just want to hear about the love of God. And yeah, I could preach that and I could probably preach it well, but you've got to understand the love of God. And a lot of people don't have a right understanding of the love of God. If we go to the next slide, which is in Ephesians, if you can please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 and 19. This is why I must preach such a topic, because it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Okay, so are we rooted? It says rooted and grounded in love. And so to be rooted and grounded in love, okay, then we have to understand love, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height. In other words, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, you've got to understand God's love. You've got to understand the breadth, length, depth, and height of God's love. And so Paul says, you've got to understand that. And that's my purpose today. We've got to understand God's love. And to know the love of Christ, okay, I want to know his love in its entirety. I want to know the breadth, length, depth, and height. I want to know everything about God's love. And I tell you today, you cannot know God's love without knowing the tough love of God. The length. There is no length that God will not do. Go to save your soul. He proved that on the cross. The breadth of God's love, for God so loved the world. The depth of God's love, and this speaks to the tough love of God. His integrity and his character, the depth of his love. He doesn't just love people who love him. He loves his enemies. Jesus died even for the guy who plunged the spear into his side on the cross. I want to tell you today, we've got to have an understanding of God's love. And as you go through life and you experience things and you experience circumstances, as you go through life and even through the hard times and through the good times, you're going to know more and more and more about God's love. And for those of us who've been living for God for a long time, you're going to know more and more. The revelation of God's love is going to come through all of those experiences that we've had. We experience God's love over and over again, even the tough love of God. And so we can easily embrace his love as a savior. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. For God so loved the world. I can embrace that. But why is it that many Christians, they reject or they push away his love as a father? By doing so, you see, when we push away God, when he wants to father us and when he wants to correct us and chasten us, when we push away him, when he wants to do those things, we are rejecting, we are losing one of the most precious relationships you can have with God. Let him be your Abba Father. Let him be your father. Let him correct and reprove. Let him guide your steps. You see, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And whatever it takes, God wants to see your soul saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And yes, he will pour his love on you. Yes, he will pour his grace and his mercy and his provision. But I want to tell you, church, don't get me wrong, God will also come, and sometimes he's going to chastise you, even rebuke you, pull you up, pull your coattails and say, slow down, sonny, because he's a God who loves us with a tough love. And I'm thankful for a God who loves me enough to, as it were, kick me up the rear end and say, no, you got it all wrong, Jonathan. You've gone in the wrong direction. How many people today can say, I thank God that he didn't let me keep walking down the path that I thought was right. That he pulled me up. He put me back on the right direction. Some of us are here today and you've got a testimony of a terrible thing that happened when you're walking away from God. Maybe a sickness. Maybe you got thrown in jail. Maybe you got caught by the cops and you say, you know what? That wasn't very nice. But now I can see it's the love of God. Or maybe you were like the prodigal who had to eat the husks and hang around with pigs. And you think, oh, thank God that he allowed that to happen. Even though it was my choice, he just released me to experience all of those things because I don't know where I would be if I hadn't hit rock bottom. The tough love of God. Think about King David, a man after God's own heart. He committed adultery. Then he went and had his lover's husband killed on the battlefield. And the tough love of God shows up disguised as a man or a prophet named Nathan. And Nathan steps onto the scene after David has fallen into sin and his all sorts of disasters happening. And Nathan, the prophet, comes and he points his bony finger in David's face. And he comes and what did he do? He didn't say, hey, Dave, it's going to be all good. Don't worry. No, he spoke the truth. He said, thou art the man. You are the one. You are a sinner. You've done the wrong thing. And immediately David became repentant. That's tough love. Some of us don't want to be corrected by God. But when you don't allow God to correct you, you're missing out on a beautiful relationship that you can have with your Father. You see, God's tough love is hard to receive. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, chapter 12, verse 11, for the moment, all discipline seems painful, not pleasant. I remember when I was a child, I thank God I had parents that disciplined me. They disciplined me. And it was painful. It wasn't pleasant, Dad. You didn't see me smiling or laughing, no. He made sure I felt it. For the moment, all discipline seems painful, not pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You see, when God disciplines or even punishes us, he is giving us sonship. And if you don't receive that chastisement, the writer of Hebrews says, then you may just be rejecting God as your father. You don't have a parent even. The Bible uses that harsh word. It's a Bible word, bastard. If you are a child of God, then you're going to receive correction. And sometimes people want to play with dangerous things. Sometimes people want to play with serpents and dangerous things that are going to bite them. And God sees it and he thinks how crazy it is for us to do that. They don't think it's going to bite them. You know, a lot of people think that they can play with things they shouldn't be playing with, do things they shouldn't be doing as Christians, and they think they're going to be the exception to the rule. It won't happen to us. And then one day God says, no, I'm going to withhold the protection and I'm going to let that snake bite them. It's a word for somebody today. Paul turned to an unrepentant sinner in the Corinthian church. He turned him over to the devil. We read it in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5. I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, just turn him over. Let them experience what they're pulling away. They want to do it. Just let them have their way. Let them do what they want. And Paul wasn't praying for him to die. No, he says, I want his selfish attitude to be destroyed. I want him to be turned over so he can be saved. Some people only learn the hard way. I've met a lot of people that have to learn everything in life the hard way. They have to hit rock bottom like the prodigal before they come to their senses. I'm talking to you today about God's tough love. Whether you like it or not, yes, it's tough and it's tough to give, but it's still love. And whatever you're experiencing in your life today, don't shake your fist at God and say, God, why is this happening? Say, God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? How are you trying to guide me? What areas do I need to make some corrections? I want to tell you today that God loves you. God loves you with an everlasting love, and He's going to pursue you. He's going to chase after you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you. But sometimes it's tough love. Oh, James chapter 1 talks about counting it all joy when we face trials. No matter their cause, let those hardships and let those trials shape us. Let them refine our faith. Let those trials and circumstances make us more like Jesus. As the musicians come, Romans chapter 8 verse 15 says this: For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And wherever you are today, whatever circumstances you're going through today, God loves you too much to leave you where you are. And He will do whatever it takes for you to be saved. And I thank God for my mum and my dad. I mean, both mum and dad, they were able to dish out the discipline. And dad knew that I needed discipline, and he knew when the discipline was needed. But as I was disciplined, wisdom began to be manifest in my life. Maybe my parents are thinking, you know what? This guy's getting smart. Learning the hard way. But wisdom's been manifest in his life. And they sit there and today and they can probably think of all the wrong things I've done and how many times I had to be grounded, sent to my room back in the old days when he gets smacked on the bum. Don't allowed to say that in church. Bottom, I mean. Trousers, yep. But wisdom was manifest in my life. And it's the same with God. We have a God that loves us. And you've got to understand the depth, breadth, height, and depth of God's love. Verse 11 says, No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Let's all stand. You see, tough love is true love. Tough love is true love. But afterward, everyone say afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You see, as Christians, we got to understand it's those seasons, those afterwards, afterward, it's going to yield the fruit. Allow God to deal with you as a son and a daughter. Allow God to correct your path, to reprove and rebuke and instruct you in righteousness. Allow God to discipline you. Why? Because He loves you. And as He disciplines you, say, God, I thank you that you love me like a child so much that you're willing to correct my path. You see, God is love. Everyone say, God is love. Love is not just something that God does. It's something that God is. God is love. And in every action, every expression of God, it is a loving expression. He cannot deny Himself. Whatever God does, He does it in love. Even in rebuking and chastising and disciplining us, it's in love. And family may forsake you, but God will never stop loving you. He doesn't wait for you to get good. No. The Bible says while we were sinners, He died in our place. We've got to understand the height, the depth, the breadth of God's love. Can we lift our hands all across this place today? Let's just lift our hands. I know it's a different sort of message. Maybe God has been dealing with you. And you need to say, stop saying, God, just leave me alone. And start saying, God, what are you trying to teach me right now? Oh God, where do you want me to put my step, my next step? Where do you want this path that you want me to be on? Where do you need me to be, God? What do you need me to change in my life? Oh God, I thank you, Lord, that you use this preacher today to show me, oh God, that you're not against me, but that you're for me. And that even in the moments of tough love, even in circumstances that I don't understand, that you're still loving me, that you're still guiding me, that you're still directing me, that God, everything you do is motivated by love. Hallelujah. Let's lift our voices right now and just praise Him. We thank you, God, and we receive what you're speaking to us today. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. How could God love me? Let me tell you, you don't know how big God is. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what I've been involved in. I want to tell you today, you don't know how forgiving God is. You say, you don't know what I've done to my family. I've spoiled so many things. I want to tell you, then you don't understand what Jesus did at Calvary, because He loves you. For God so loved the world. The tough love of God. Let's be a church and a people that want to understand and know the breadth and depth and height and length of God's love today. This altar is open if you want to come and pray and submit to God. Maybe God's been speaking to you for a long time, and I believe right now, just an abstract, kind of different sort of topic I'm speaking on today, but this is inspired of God. Something you're going through, don't resist it, because in God's discipline and instruction, He's saying, you are my child. Through that, you get sonship. You become a daughter, because He loves you enough to reprove, to instruct, to discipline, even punish. It's the tough love of God. Let's sing this song. Oh, yes, Jesus, yes, Jesus, yes, Lord. God is speaking to us today a number of times. Hallelujah. Let's receive it today. God is speaking to somebody. How long will you hold between two opinions? Oh, yes. Either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve the other. Which one? How long are you going to resist God? Let Him speak to your heart today. Let His love touch your heart right now. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord.